Now we're heading to a family-run micro-dairy near Oamaru in North Otago with Cosmo Kentish-Barnes. First-time farmers Glenn and Bron Claridge supply milk in glass bottles locally. And when Cosmo popped in, Glenn was processing fresh milk.
Right now we're right at pasteurisation temperature on the pasteuriser and I'm just monitoring it. I've got a temperature probe in there, cross-checking the pasteuriser temperature.
And what's the temperature you're looking for?
We run at 67 degrees for 6 minutes just to achieve pasteurisation. And it'll click over shortly into cooling and it'll be ready for bottling at about 11 o'clock.
How are the cows? Did they milk well this morning?
Better this morning. They've actually gone off the boil in this wet weather. We've had a long run of wet weather and they've given up a little. But a bit of sun and more grass, less baleage, and quietly coming around again.
Now, you've got your shop right next to the processing area here, haven't
right
you?
Right here, everything's contained. The milk from the cow only goes about 12 metres through the pasteuriser and into the shop here. And the people that come here really buy into what we're doing, and it's quite rewarding for me, that people's enthusiasm.
Are some people quite chatty and want to find out about the cows?
Yeah, we have a few good yarns out there, and if I've got time or if the weather's right, and go for a wander out the back if the cows are handy. And the bull, he's usually floating around. He's a point of interest. We'll see him in a minute. He's a strange-looking fellow.
Has it clicked over to 67 degrees yet?
It has. So it's on its way down, so we can leave that alone. Thing for the next hour or so.
So we just had a customer came in and bought a bottle of milk, got told off yesterday because her husband didn't have any milk for his coffee.
She had a wee peek through to see what was happening in
she
here.
Did. She was like, Cosmo, I'm a regular, Alison.
Now you set this dairy operation up quite recently, didn't you?
Well, we actually took it over. It was going along the road, only half a K along the road. A couple set it up there. It was going for 12 or 18 months. And when we bought this place, they were looking to get out of it. So we took it on and shifted it around here. So they had the initial core client base. And then we're just quietly building on that.
So you had the land already? And the shed?
Only February last year. Yeah, we had the land and... And they're very lucky, these big sheds here.
How much land have you got?
70 acres.
We are standing beside your milking setup, and you have built this from scratch yourself.
I have. Pretty much started in during the lockdown, actually. I've done quite a lot in here. This was the covered yards for the wool sheet there, so there was nothing in here. Yeah, and I pulled a herringbone sheet to pieces and fairly for a lot of the steel work and picked up bits and pieces and cobbled it together. So yeah, it's a very small herringbone. I can put 10 cups in there, but I've only got 7 at the moment. It saves water through your washing cycles. And it's just one-sided. But we're probably only going to milk 20 cows maximum, I would say. And so it's only 2 or 3 rows. It's pretty quick.
You must be the smallest dairy farm in the district.
I would say so, I had a local guy dropped off a cow the other day, and he's milking 100 times more cows than I am,
Bron, do you have a backup person who can do the milking?
We do, she just lives across the road, Jill. She's our saviour. She comes in 2 or 3 times a week. She does the milking and the bottling as well for us. We both have other jobs, so this isn't our main... Well, it is our main job, but we have other jobs as well.
What do you do, Bron?
So I'm a teacher at Kakanui School, just 10 minutes down the road.
Yes, so part-time.
Part-time, yeah.
How about you, Glenn? What do you do when you're not tending to the cows?
These days I work as much as I can for my brother, Total Span Buildings.
Gosh, it's a busy times with the dairy. You're both working.
Deliveries. Deliveries. That's why, my mum, you met her before, and that's just, it's fabulous. Fabulous having extra help, and she does it for love and free milk.
What made you and Glenn want to have a dairy farm?
Well, Glenn grew up on a dairy farm when he was a kid, and he's a man of the land. He's always wanted to go back. So we spent a lot of time in Weston, 9 years in a little quarter-acre section, and his heart wasn't really there. It was with some land. So we spent a couple of years looking all around the district for land, and we found a few places, but making an income from a small piece of land is really difficult. It's just basically a black hole that you can just pour money down and nothing, see nothing back. So when we found this place, I think it was just, whoa, the lights just went on and we went, woohoo. And when we found out that Bethan and Brian were wanting to sell their business, we thought, well, yeah, we can do that. We can do it. It's a big task. It was just the whole idea of setting up a whole milking system that we didn't know anything about, and whole bottling and pasteurising, and it was, yeah, dealing with MPI and all sorts of things. It was just, yeah, it was huge, but it was great. We were very tired for a few months, but we got through, and I'm not sure that it's getting, well, is it getting easier, dear?
Hopefully it will, but I mean, I don't mind working, but I mean, I'm working 24/7, but yeah, as we get further into it and the systems get better, I think it will get easier. Yeah.
Well, let's go and meet your cows. I'll just get my boots on. Are you from the area, Glenn?
Yeah, just from Mahino, just south, about 10k south of here. And we were brought up on a wee town supply dairy farm. Dad was milking 45 cows all year round in the good old days. But that was only till I was about 10. So sort of wishing I paid more attention the last few months, working it all out.
Now, we've come across your bull, and he's got a lovely black coat, and he's just waking up.
He's a bit grumpy. He's been on his own for a month or two, and he's on a bit of a diet. We're trimming him down. He gets pretty fat when he's in with the girls all the time. So.
His name's Piggles.
He's
Lowline Angus.
Lowline Angus, and he does the job. Yes. And shortly he'll get out again in July. So we're still working our way through that, but I think I'm going to work towards calving 3 times a year, probably in the spring and then January and then May.
I guess it's always a challenge when you are milking 12 months of the year.
Yeah, and now we're finding that at the moment, just but it's early days, definitely shorter cows just at the moment. I've had to buy in another 4 or 5 just because the calving times are not quite right. So,
what cows do you like for the milking?
Yeah, I don't know. I probably should have all great big giant Friesians pumping out the litres, but I think I like the Ayrshires. Not just a point of difference, I think. Different yes. colour. And, I mean, apparently they go better on the dry land, more hardy. So we've probably got 10 or 12 of those. We've got some Friesians and some Jerseys, and there's one milking Shorthorn and the Ayrshires. There's a bit of everything.
Three girls have come down to see us. These are our three replacement heifers that were born on our property. So we've got Lily and Buttercup and Strawberry over the back. Mm. We held a wee competition on our Facebook page to name a calf, and people came up with, a lady came up with Strawberry because her grandmother had a cow called Strawberry or something. It was lovely. Nice story.
So what's going to happen to these girls?
These guys will be the bigger one. She might go to the bull end of the year. And these other two, probably they'll be next winter even. We'll just see how they go, how they grow out. Mm. They're a mixed bag. We've got one pretty much straight Friesian and one wee Jersey. And then the one in the middle, Strawberry, is actually a Shorthorn bull over an Ayrshire cow. So.
And right now she is getting her ear licked by the Jersey. Oh, that's sweet.
Yeah, pretty good life here.
It's a very good block of land, flat. You've got some shelter belts and trees around, and in the distance there's the sea.
Yeah, that's a nice wee block. Needs a bit of work. It's been let go for quite a few years and leased out, but great soils. This is all Totara soil, some of the best soil in New Zealand. We had Jono Frew, who's the regenerative guru. He came for a visit and dug a few holes and loves the soil, but that's going forward. We're going to go down that track. I've sowed out a couple of paddocks and a pretty diverse mixture down the bottom there. But they went in, it was about March, and there was no rain for a long time, so they haven't done that well. But it'll be interesting to see how they come on in the spring.
The cows will love that.
Yeah, 30 different varieties
in there of all sorts. And I've done a round of fish fertiliser, and I don't really want to use nitrogen-based fertilisers. In a previous life, I was a top dressing pilot for 15 or 20 years, spreading food everywhere. So.
You've done your dash?
Yeah.
So you're a pilot?
Yeah, but I haven't actually done it for a couple of years. I've done quite a few seasons going to China over there for 2 or 3 months a year. But
top dressing in China?
Yeah, well, that's actually spraying. China's spraying all rice, corn and beans. So, yeah, I love those trips.
That would have been so interesting. Were there many other Kiwis over there?
Yeah, in the end, there's first just usually about 10 or 12 of us, half Kiwis, half Aussies.
What part of China?
Right up in the northeast corner on the Russian border, Heilongjiang province, and it's a big agricultural area. It's massive. The scale was beyond anything we would know.
How big are the rice fields up there?
I work on a couple of different farms, and the main rice farm, the biggest rice farm, had 75,000 hectares of rice in that last trip. And then the farm I was working on, they had, I think it was 45,000 hectares of corn, about the same of beans. And it was all owned by one big state company, but they had 130 farms like that, so she's a pretty big operation.
Gosh, they must employ thousands of people.
Each farm has its own town, and my farm had 40,000 people in the town, and it's based all around that farm. Yeah, amazing. That area, they produce 80% of the rice for the Chinese population, and the corn, I didn't realise, but it was all for feeding pigs. So it goes down to the south of China to the pig farms.
And Bron, you were working as a coordinator for Enviro Schools?
Yeah, I was for 3 years through the Waitaki District Council. And then left that wonderful, wonderful job and fantastic people. And it's going really, still going really well in North Otago, Waitaki area. Yeah, 16 schools involved. Yeah.
But I guess you wanted to dedicate a bit more of your time to the dairy here.
Yeah, I think I miss the classroom too. So dairying and being back with my own class of kids, yeah, it's pretty exciting.
And what age children do you teach?
I've got year 5 to 8. So that's 9-year-olds to 13, really. Yeah, a couple heading away to high school at the end of the year. And yeah, it's really lovely.
And what's the school like?
It's actually where I grew up. So just 10 minutes down the road, Kakanui, and we're right beside the river and the beach. So Monday I was in my class and we decided to go and do a bird count. We're doing a statistics unit, so we thought we'd do a bird count on the river. So up, I had 13 kids and off we went for a walk along the track and counted birds. And I had a wee boy, Kev, who thought he saw an albatross. He got pretty excited. I said, no, it's just a seagull. And oh, the kids, yeah, they're just amazing, amazing kids. Yeah, yeah.
Thank you. Now, across the farm, you've got your herd of dry girls.
Yeah, there's about 8, I think, coming on, and they're spring calvers, or they're a bit spread out, August, September, October. And I've got 4 more coming from another place, which are August calvers, which will be a bit of a saviour.
And several of them are lingering under a large old tree.
Yeah, big old pine trees here. So they'll just come and go out of here every day to wherever I'm break feeding them.
Do you grow any winter crops?
No. I'm sort of hoping not to. I just want to winter them on the same feed, really. Same permanent pasture.
Yes.
Keep the same cycle going. And I don't want to have my cows standing in the muck in a winter feed in a kale crop or something like that. I'd rather have them on and off like here.
Hello. So who have we got here?
That's Missy there. She's a little Jersey cross. Emmy Lou, Gracie and Beauty out the back. Gracie, she's going to be our first heifer that calves, so that'll be interesting in getting her going in the cow sheet. And we're keeping the calves on for a while too when they calve.
Whereas on larger dairy farms, the calves would come straight off, wouldn't they?
They're straight off, yeah. Same day pretty much. So
why do you leave them on?
Oh, it's just a nice way to go for calf and cow. Mm. Can be a bit traumatic down the track when you wean them off because they've had that attachment. But at the moment, working on leaving them on full time for the first 3 weeks, and then after that, either leave them off overnight, or when the cow's coming to milk in the morning, I just put them back in with the calf for half an hour. He gets a drink.
Yes.
And then mum carries on back out here. And the calves do well.
Did the bulk of the small herd come from the previous owners of the business?
Yeah, about half of what we've got now came from them, and then we've been adding on. It's like winning the cow lottery coming here. you can see this is as far as they walk. The cow shed there, it's only 200 metres away. That's as far as they'll walk for their whole lives. And there's no big herd pressure. It's
once a day milking.
Once a day. It's it's as good as it gets, probably.
And you were saying you'll probably max out at, what, 20 cows?
Yeah, I think so. We'll see how it goes. I don't want to be putting the land under any real pressure. We can buy in baleage, but it'd be nice to keep it all in-house. And if we're milking 20 all year round, we'll need 30 to 35 cows on a dry land, 70 acres, that's probably enough.
And what's on the agenda for the rest of the day?
I'll have to sort out a bit of baleage. I'll line that up for the next few days.
Bottling,
yeah, well, I've still got a bottle of milk. And I've got to go and do a bit of building. I've got to get a heap of quotes out. And I'll pick up a couple of new cows.
Pav, what are you doing?
Pavlova's pretty interested in your gear.
That microphone is not edible, just so you know. Bron, business-wise, how are things going? Because
really
I guess you've invested a lot of money into setting this up.
Money and time, yeah. No, really well. We're so well supported. People love us for various reasons, and one of them's the keeping the calves with the mothers. The glass just reduces their plastic use so much, and that we're local.
For you, Glenn, is this a dream come true?
Oh, yeah, I guess so. I've always thought about doing it. I guess I wanted 1,000 acres, but this is what I can afford. And I've thought about the small cow, glass bottles, milking herd for it for years. I'm not sure I've ever thought I'd do it, but, yeah, I'm pleased I have. It will put us under a lot of pressure, but it's pretty rewarding. And I always look at other people that have these harebrained ideas and actually back themselves and do it. And, for years I've never quite done that, and now I've done it, and I'm like, succeed or fail, I've had a crack at it.
You can tick that box off.
Yeah, exactly. And I need a change of lifestyle. Like, I've been flying for the last 15, 20 years, and as you get older, well, particularly New Zealand top dressing, it's just dangerous. Again, I needed to get out of that and get outside. That's the big thing.
Be home more.
Be home. Like, I've been away a lot, or every winter for the last 10 years probably. Mm. Been away. So, I'm home and I'm doing my own thing, my own boss.
The Natural Dairy's Glenn Claridge ending that story. Cosmo was also talking to Bron Claridge at their small farm near Oamaru.